all enlightened ones, whether Arahant or Bodhisattva, they already enlightened. So they are sure how to, they'll sure know.
They understand all this.
Understand how to not to be deceived by mundane mind.
Correct, correct. Yes.
Not to be deluded by the arising mind. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, that's so they are all not affected by the
not affected anymore.
Yeah, the mundane happening, the thinking mind or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. They call it the normal world of consciousness, whatever consciousness create. So the consciousness can come from mundane mind. That one very gross. Got images, form, the sankhara, everything is very gross.
Yeah.
Whereas the other supramundane mind, it also has consciousness, but the consciousness is pure and non-grasping. Mm. You understand?
Yes.
Ah. The mundane mind one is grasping.
But the Arahant don't have grasping. Even Bodhisattva enlightened don't have grasping anymore.
So, yes, it's in between. Do you realize their mundane mind, that gross one, hasn't collapsed? But because of that wisdom, they are protected. Do you understand? Even with that gross movement inside there, because it has not reached that fineness of pure energy wisdom, that's why it cannot collapse. But it doesn't affect them because the wisdom that is connected, that panya, enable them not to be deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness. Means whether it's the gross mundane mind or for those who go the bodhisattva way, if the mundane mind has collapsed, the supramundane mind that arise through pure awareness and still have the non-grasping aggregate, they are not deceived anymore.
Mm.
But because there is non-grasping in the supramundane mind, means they are like the Arahant, non-grasping even in the gross mundane mind, even when it has not collapsed. So the Arahant's five aggregate, although gross, haven't collapsed, but because of the wisdom, it's also non-grasping. So that is the difference. So they cannot be disturbed. They cannot be deceived. They cannot be deluded. They cannot like be conditioned into
negativity.
Negativity. Yes. So the only difference is one still have the gross mundane mind that keep on arising and passing away, whereas the other one really the whole thing collapsed. No more. I can't find anything.
Mm. Okay.
Completely, the nature shine forth.
Okay.
The pure awareness come out. And that pure awareness, that's why I was telling my wife, very strange. That few days when it happened, I said, nothing has changed. Everything is the same. But now I can see everything. You know, there is no more of this gross mundane mind to cloud that nature. And everything becomes so pristine, so bright, so clear, and everything is as it is or not. So that type of seeing will give rise to the type of wisdom and the understanding that is way beyond the one that hasn't collapsed. That's why if you stay at the Arahant way, that wisdom is limited. That's why it cannot lead to the perfection of wisdom. But they already have the wisdom to root out avijja. That one is very, very true. And that one is also stated in the Mahayana teaching.
That's why all these are just different spiritual goal. Different spiritual goal of individuals. Yeah.
Correct.
Whether they want to walk the path of Bodhisattva or Arahant.
I use the word, the choice is up to them.
For Arahant or Bodhisattva, they understand truly.
Yes,
there's nobody to be saved.
Yeah,
they are nobody enlightened.
That's why the ultimate one is there is no one to count
to be saved. Yes, and to be saved there or to be enlightened also.
Yes, all those things doesn't exist. But the Bodhisattva, because they have both sides wisdom, they know, but to come back, you need a form of mind. So that's why they make that vow. And to them, they know the living being, they are as real as they can be, except they are dependent originating. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. So they know, and this one is not real. But you need to have this, the wisdom of the unconditioned and the conditioned world, to actually have the understanding to come back as a bodhisattva. That's why they need the vow to bring forth the causes and condition for that pure, we call it the pure rebirth consciousness, which is not conditioned by avijja. So without that vow, you vow out of love and compassion to take across the limitless living being in this entire existence, there is no condition for the pure mind to arise. Now that is still a mind, but it's a pure mind without avijja, without the evil root. That's why this one can arise, because you have that vow. Then this one also part of the karmic nature, that bodhisattva that take this vow and go forth has a karmic nature. So the karmic nature can manifest a form and mind, but it don't have a consciousness which is born of the usual ignorant avijja paccaya sankhara. So he has to have this understanding. That's why all the four basic vow of a bodhisattva is the same. That's why all this vow has its reason why you must have them, to arise the causes and conditions for you to walk this way. But they know no being to be saved. That's why the sixth patriarch say no mark, no mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of life, no mark of Dhamma. This is the ultimate wisdom of the unconditioned. Then with this, you come over to the conditioned world to manifest as a bodhisattva or as a living being when you come again. You have that wisdom to protect you. You know this is not real. That's why it's anicchang dukkang anatta. He know you, he know me. But you also know there is a law of karma. That's why you will know how to manifest. That's the reason why I always warn you all. Don't ever apply the one-sided wisdom to the existential world wisdom. Because it doesn't apply that way. The existent world, you like it or not, even though it's anicchang dukkang anatta, there is still a reality. I use the word in inverted comma, reality. You like it or not, there is such thing as life. There is such thing as existence. There is such thing as law of karma. There is such thing as relationship. That's why this part makes the Dhamma very difficult to comprehend. Very, very difficult to comprehend. Because without the wisdom of both sides, the unconditioned and the conditioned world, you cannot walk this way. You cannot actually develop the understanding. That's why it's very difficult. So if you look at all the teaching, even now, the Theravada and the Mahayana, you will be surprised. What I have shared with you on this part is not in both the teaching. Not described at all. Not even written. You go and check. If you can find and rejoice, then you read it to me. This understanding, very few people understand. Only the real cultivator, they have the understanding.